Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to a special episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of Believe and Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I am Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall. And we're also brought to you by Bet Online. Continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games, available to play right from your phone. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. We're joined live via the Meadors Lumber Hotline, bringing in Michael Beard, longtime friend of the show, went away from covering the Kentucky Wildcats, but a longtime fan. First off, we'll just appreciate you coming on and just kind of what I want to do to start off, just get your thoughts on when you heard the news, when you heard the news was like more than just smoke, and how the last really 24 hours has been on the Kentucky side of everything.
So Sunday night, I'm a big wrestling fan. So I started back watching wrestling back in 2022. And now I'm head over heels with it. So
there we go.
I was sitting there watching WrestleMania, and Cody Rhodes was fighting Roman Reigns. You know, I'm trying to enjoy all of this, and all of a sudden my phone just starts going crazy. Cal's going to Arkansas, all this stuff, and I was like, okay, not right now. I'm just going to set my phone away. I cannot take this seriously at this moment.
Yeah.
So after the match is over with, pull up my phone, and Pete Thamel reported on it that they were in active negotiations, and this was like a real thing. Like, this was about to happen. And so, you know, we had just went through – so 2 weeks ago, Calipari and Mitch Barnhart had a TV show on BBN Tonight is what it's called. It's on a local radio station out of Lexington. And they had a sit down and they were talking about how committed they were together. It was amidst all of the, is the cow going to be fired stuff, the whole $33 million buyout and whatnot. And, you know, they sat down during that and they announced to all of Kentucky fans how they wanted to, ride this out and in this in the way the last 4 years had been. So, you know, I'm bought back in. You know, I accepted that Cal's gonna be my coach again, and fairly enough, I've got enough good memories of Calipari being my coach that I was completely fine with that. So put all the possible coaches that we could possibly have to bed, accept this, and we're moving on. But then we've got this popping up, and I'm like, okay, bring it on back. So yesterday was a relatively quiet day. Didn't really hear much other than Matt Jones posted something on a message board about how everything's relatively quiet, and Cal's thinking about staying or wanting to thinking having second thoughts or something along the lines of that. But, you know, just the trying to separate all of the BS from the actual facts was the main thing, and it was just hard to tell what was real and what wasn't. And so whenever the video dropped today of Cal, it felt so real, and my emotions hit. He's the reason why I'm so passionate. And I mean, you can see all the pictures behind me, John Wall right there. And, you know, Anthony Davis and all them behind me. It's just, it's been a fun ride. But I'm excited for what the future holds for us. And I'm excited for y'all to get a dose of what I've been able to live for a little while now too.
And going back to the wrestling, I guess, Adam, I'll let you answer this first. When we go back to Michael, you know, there's a big moment in WrestleMania where The Rock's out there and then Undertaker comes back. So did this news kind of ruin that moment for you? How did you manage that?
Okay. So I prepared myself beforehand because, you know, I did HQ Live. So I stopped. Well, I didn't stop watching WrestleMania. When 8 o'clock hit, I had WrestleMania playing on my phone. So I had the Peacock app up on my phone and just basically had it playing. I think they even like were, Hey, we can hear the announcers on, you know, coming through your mic. So, you know, I was watching it. I knew that the main event wasn't going to be until a little bit later. So I was cool with, you know, all that. Out of everything that happened, I've watched wrestling since I was little. So I'm going on 30 plus years of watching it continuously. I expected it to not be the Undertaker at the end, to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, that rivalry of Stone Cold and The Rock in the past. But at the same time, you know, it was one of the best main events of WrestleMania that I've ever seen.
Yes, 100% agree.
So, well, I mean, Michael, like you said, how did you navigate? You know, you said your phone's blowing up, and I know I used to be in wrestling back in the first, you know, Stone Cold, The Rock, you know, back when, look, we had TV and we're switching back and forth between WCW and Monday Night Raw. You know, if Raw went to commercial, you're switching over to Nitro. Mm-hmm. Nitro back. That was my era. So, I mean, I haven't been in a while, but, you know, going back, we're talking about rivalries. They're talking about, you know, it's full circle when you think about this whole thing, because before we started recording, Michael, we were talking about, you know, this Arkansas-Kentucky rivalry goes back to when Arkansas joined. I mean, this has been a constant. I don't think we'd have seen this type of coaching change 10, 15 years ago. Just how the landscape of, you know, Kentucky and Arkansas hated each other. You know, they were the rivals, and you see that now. But for every rule, there's an exception. And I think both sides of this, Michael, you can answer for the Kentucky side, and Adam, I'll let you speak on the Arkansas side. As much hate as there was between the programs, there has been this massive respect between the two programs. You know, what have you seen from your side, Michael, of, yes, it sucks that he's leaving, but I've been seeing a lot of, well, I'm glad it's Arkansas. I mean, speak on that from a Kentucky aspect of it.
So something you're about to hear is the Cal speak, and he always talks about how crazy the fans are. If Kentucky is the craziest fan base, Arkansas is definitely number two. It's definitely number two, and it's very close. And it might be flip-flop. You guys might be more crazy than we are. But I think that is kind of Cal shtick, and he loves that. He loves the craziness, and he loves passion, and he loves the fact that people care about what he's doing. And whenever he has motivation and whenever he has a drive to prove something and prove people wrong, you know, it might be, you know, people from Kentucky proving people that he still got what he still has what he did back in, you know, the 2010 era. So I think that you guys are going to really enjoy that aspect of it. What was the exact question again? Sorry.
Well, I was just talking about, you know, just with Cal coming to Arkansas and with what they're expecting, but yet what has been the Kentucky fan base's reaction to, of course, yes, it sucks that he's leaving, but we've known that there's kind of been this band-aid that needs to be ripped off from the Kentucky fan base. But how do you just let go of a coach like Cal? It's almost like you see with the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Look at or Alabama football, and if Coach Saban was started, how hard it would be just to let them go. So I understand that side of it.
Yes. So if there's another fan base out there that could accept, you know, Cal as who he is, it's you guys. And, you know, Cal holds a special place in all of our hearts, similar to the way Bill Belichick is viewed at the Patriots or Saban's viewed at Alabama, kind of like you said. But we just want to see him go somewhere to where he can he can succeed. But we can also move on with our lives as well and go on into the sunset of this new era. And, you know, there's just the whole uneasiness that some of the fans have now is it's good for a new flavor. You know what I mean? Things had gotten kind of stale, and even Calipari said Kentucky's a 10-year job and he's been here for 15. So that's, you know, that speaks for itself. So I think it's just the fact that, you know, we're ready for something new. He's ready for something new, and you guys deserve each other because of the passion and because of his motivation and his competitiveness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think from the Arkansas fan standpoint, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, you're going to have on both sides, the Arkansas fans and Kentucky fans, that they're going to meddle in the trash talk. That's just the way of life. Yep. You know, I think it was one of those that when it started to be announced, you still had the Arkansas side that was kind of skeptical. Mm-hmm. They're still thinking of Calipari as, you know, the Kentucky coach that got thrown out of a Bud Walton Arena a few years back. He's always been on the opposing sideline. He's always been, you know, the guy that we go up against. But the fact remains is a lot of it is out of respect that we look at him and he's constantly winning. He's constantly got one of the top recruiting classes in the nation year in and year out. We sit there and look at it and it's kind of like, okay, so let's take that off a little bit. This is what we're walking into. This is what we're now getting. So they, you know, like you said, had their 15 years, and now it's our turn. I feel like that, like you said perfectly, it got a little bit stale, maybe a little bit stagnant. Yeah. And this could be just a complete revitalization for both sides of it. Cal to go somewhere else to prove somewhere else, and for Kentucky to have somebody else come in and take over and show what they can do, whether it be an already established coach, somebody else. You can't walk into Kentucky and not have one of the top programs in the country.
Right.
So I think a lot of it's, you know, we're now getting to the point of there's that mutual respect that everybody's seen and knows, because it's all but a done deal. Writing's on the wall, pictures are up, this, that, and the other. So now the realization is set in that, yeah, it's done.
How cool is it? And there's another question. I'll let both of y'all, we'll start with Michael first and Adam, you can answer. How cool is it that, say, from Calipari's aspect of, usually on your way out, you either have nowhere to go or you're just grasping at who would take you. You have the chance, rare chance, to go to a program like Arkansas that wants you just as much as you want to be there, because he wanted, I mean, there, I don't know all the ins and outs of the contract or when he was offered the last time, but you to go to a program that you think about how much they rooted against you, how much are they going to root for him once he's here? I mean, I think we're going to see that tomorrow night when they have the press conference. I think there's going to be a sold out Bud Walton Arena for the press conference.
It's going to be absolutely bonkers in there for the ceremony that you guys have for him. And like you said, it usually whenever a coach leaves, whenever, especially, you know, this at Kentucky, we're used to these bad breakups. You know, Tubby Smith, we had to fire him. Gillespie, we had to fire him. Patino left and we hated him. So, you know, the fact that, you know, he can go out on decently good terms, I think it'll be healthy for us, especially with that video. We'll be able to move on and kind of unite, because some of the fan base had been divided, because, you know, the pro Cal guys and, you know, the fans that wanted him gone, they had been divided. And I think with that video, it kind of was a way of Cal saying, you know, it's time for me to move on. And so speaking that to the pro Cal guys, they can accept that. We can unite it as one and move on to the next person.
You know, I will say, seeing that video, watching it today, you don't really see that anymore. Usually, you know, it's a graphic, a tweet, Instagram post. You know, you could hear the sincerity in his voice, which I think is, which makes it just all that much better. Mm-hmm. You know, flip side, you know, we also, you know, having Musselman go to USC, we had a coach leave on their own. They weren't forced out. They weren't fired, et cetera. And, you know, I saw a lot of coaches or a lot of fans commenting on that they wished that, you know, they had seen something like that from us. And I get it. But at the same time, you look at the 5 years that Musselman's been here versus the 15 years of Calipari being at Kentucky. I mean, it's two completely – they've had two completely different careers, while similar, different. So it was good to see. I know even after it, you still had the conspiracy theorists out there like dissecting everything that he was saying. And I'm just like, just take him at his word. Yeah. Like, just be done. Accept it. Stop trying to think that he's going to end up in the NBA. He's not coming here, whatever. Like, just be happy for everybody. Because, you know, I feel like it's a bit of a win-win situation.
It is.
I poked fun at Matt Jones because I posted something about a meme, the Titanic meme, you know, just let go, Matt. You know, it's one of them that he just can't. And look, I mean, I don't blame him because I'm sure he's been a fan just like you. I'm sure y'all have come up through the ranks covering the same team and being fans of the same program. So I'm sure this is not, and whether it's Cal or anybody else who's been there 15 years, but the prestige of your program, I mean, me and Adam talked about, we had to go back 20 years to where a coach had just walked away, not being fired. We're not used to it. So I'm sure, especially at a program like Kentucky, but you know, you touched on it perfectly when you said divorce. And so not all divorces are volatile. Not all divorces end badly. And you talked, Adam, you talked about that sincerity in his voice. Look, as much as you knew it was time and you're going to love coming to Arkansas and the fan base, look, you know, that had to suck. I would hate to walk away from any kind of 15-year job or relationship, friendship, anything, even if I knew it was better for me in the end. It still sucks to walk away, and I would want that. Look, and I'll say this as to the Kentucky fan base. Y'all deserve that because he gave you 15 years, but you gave him 15 years of loyalty. And we look at this Arkansas-Kentucky fandom. 1A and 1B, when we talk about a loyalty to a fandom, I mean, you're right up there.
Yes. Very much so.
There's a lot of guys that we'll go right. What's this question right here? So we'll wrap things up. So what is next for, you know, the Kentucky side of it? Who would you like to fill those shoes? And one, ought you be a fan? One, and who would you like? And if it's the same person, cool. But who would you like? But who would you expect? Like, what's your expectations of a coach to come in and replace Cal?
Okay, so who I would like, I think there's a top three, and you know, one of the coaches today has kind of shot it down, and that's Billy Donovan. He shot it down. The timing doesn't really make sense for him anyways, because he's with the Bulls. Their regular season doesn't even end until Sunday. And then they're going to be playing in playing games for the playoffs. So you know where Billy Donovan's focus is going to be. So we can roll him out. Then there's Hurley. Hurley's actually above Donovan for me, just because Donovan hasn't been in college, you know, in so long. But there's Hurley. You know, there's been reports today that we're going to offer him $11 million for 5 to 7 years. And that, you know, that's a starting negotiation. So, you know, if that's your starting negotiation, you know, you're willing to go up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was just reported that we have offered Scott Drew. And Scott Drew and Mitch Barnhart actually have a really, really good relationship, you know, with their political ties, with their a bunch of the things that they do. They go to church together sometimes. It's just a really, really close relationship. And that's who the ongoing favorite has been really from the get-go as far as who will be the next Kentucky coach. As far as expectations goes, you know, definitely, I mean, it's Kentucky. You know, they're going to be ticked off if you don't win championships, if you don't bring Final Fours, if we don't at least make it to the second weekend, they're going to be ticked off. But there's also the understanding of the first year. You don't really know what it's going to be because, you know, all of these players are going to be gone. The only realistic one, and I don't even know how realistic it is Reed Sheppard, and he's projected as a top five pick. So if he stays, it's only because he's a legacy guy. His dad played here, and he doesn't want his legacy to be that way. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's out the door. He's gone. His dad's a financial advisor, for crying out loud. It would not be wise for you to come back if you're a top five guaranteed pick. So, you know, the expectation is championships, Final Fours. He's won a championship at Baylor. I don't believe the standard really changes. You know, the standard doesn't change. That's what they're going to want at the end of the day. And, you know, if you don't do it, then it's going to be chaos.
Well, you know, we're looking forward to, because again, you're in the same conference, you know, we're going to meet up next year down the road. It's going to be interesting to see how this, I mean, and look, you can't change a rivalry like Arkansas-Kentucky that has been since the inception of Arkansas coming to the SEC. So I don't think it's going to do anything but stoke it even more.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's you have the choice to pretty much. And you look at the UConn coach, and they're creeping up on six national championships. They're creeping up on that elite blue. I mean, you got your blue bloods, but then you got your elite blue bloods, you know, and right. They're creeping up on that. And you see what he's doing. But then again, you went back to back and you're like, okay, what's next? I mean, so it would be really, again, it's UConn. It's Kentucky. So nothing's out of the realm when it comes to, because again, prior to 2 days ago, who's seen Cal coming to Arkansas? So anything's possible when it comes to that. But Adam, who do you think would go?
You know, initially when I first saw the Billy Donovan stuff, it just, first thing that came to mind is, you know, he's had decent seasons in the NBA, Oklahoma City, now Chicago, being out of NCAA for as long as he had. I mean, it's a completely different world with NIL and transfer portal. He may not want to deal with, but we don't know. That was just what I immediately looked at. Then I saw later today, or earlier today, you started seeing some former, I think it was DeMarcus Cousins tweeting about Rajon Rondo and stuff. And I know that, you know, Rondo's getting into the coaching game. At the same time, that would be a complete out of left field. I think it would be a big headline. You just don't know how it's going to pan out because there's nothing proven there.
Yeah.
I honestly think at this point, you know, obviously the money's going to be there and money talks. I don't think it would be out of the realm to see Hurley or Scott Drew come. I think it's going to be somebody that you wouldn't have thought was going to leave their school.
Could get Penny.
That's going to. Yeah, go get Penny.
Well, hey, Michael, man, it's a pleasure. Appreciate you coming on again, getting back with us. Told Kyle we'd tell you hello.
Yes.
If he's watching, you know, but it's been a pleasure. I know, you know, you'll find the coach. I'm sure that, you know, it's still Kentucky basketball. I mean, you look at the parallels of the coaching. We went from Sutton to Nolan, few rough patches. We had Musselman, now Cal. Same thing with y'all, you know, go all the way back to your namesake, Rupp Arena. So, you know, Patino, all that, you know, the nostalgia and the prestige that is Kentucky basketball. But again, thank you for coming on, and can't wait to see that first game between Arkansas and Kentucky next year.
I can't either. It's going to be electric. It's going to be electric. Appreciate good luck to you guys.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
Yes, sir.
And that was Michael Beard. Again, longtime friend of the show. He had done his own thing covering Kentucky sports, got away from it. But, man, you know, we're going to take a quick commercial break. After the break, we're going to give our thoughts on expectations. Now that it's kind of finally going on, we could talk about expectations, fans, and what we can expect from, you know, the what will be next season that comes of and roster, having nothing to really deal with. And, yes, we get caught up in the whole fact that Coach Cal's here, but What do we expect when it comes to the roster next year? And we'll touch on that after the break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarkville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the law offices Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Spring. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewery products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And I want to welcome you back to Hog Talk Podcast again. And like we let off before the break, Adam, you know, now it's here. They've already got, I mean, if photoshopped or not photoshopped, he was taking inside Bud Walton Arena of him already quickly changed over to Cal. What realistically, let's be realistically now, now the calm, you know, we can even see when they announce it's a little bit more calmer today than it was yesterday. What would you say would be some realistic expectations for next year, his first year at Arkansas?
First year, I don't think you can be too overly demanding as a fan, expectations wise. You know, we've seen that you have a complete blank slate. I mean, there are no scholarship players currently on the Arkansas roster, so you don't know how those conversations are going to go with if anybody coming back or not. But complete blank slate, first year. You know, I hope you would be able to make the tournament. But you never know. I think that making the NCAA tournament in the first year under a new coach, yes, Calipari. I think that's kind of where you need to set your goal for.
Because here's where I'm at with it. You see the roster. Nothing's there. It's already been documented there or talked about. He's bringing multiple staff members with him. So if you say, let's say you bring in four or five, six of these kids in your signing class and they're all four or five stars. Okay. That's what you're expected to have in Kentucky. And then if you get some kids in the transfer portal, I mean, yes, I think the expectations has to be, you know, the national NCAA tournament. I just because the excitement, all this excitement about bringing Cal in, he misses the tournament the first year. I just think from a fan standpoint, it might diminish it a little bit. I mean, and that could change next year. Then he goes on a run. I'm just saying, like, your expectations, you're coming in to at least make the tournament. But then again, what coach? I mean, this is where it's going to be tough. Even a coach like Cal, you have nothing to work with as a you couldn't even be to put a team on the floor. You had to get the manager's team. We talked about that the other day to come out there and suit up for the Hawks. So my expectations is tournament and go on a tournament run, but it's not like you have to go on a deep run or go to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16, because you're asking even for a coach like him, that it's a tall, tall, tall task to bring in 5-6 fresh guys and turn them into a national championship contender, you know. But then again, you look at UConn and what they did last night, they lost 3 starters and they come back and won a back-to-back national championship. So with the right coach and the right culture, it can be done, but you have to this very first year set your bar a little lower than if he has this program growing, or even if he come in with a full roster, if Arkansas had like Jalen Williams or, you know, Mason Jones, 2 or 3 guys, if Battle was, you know, and I know some of these guys are kicking themselves in the rear end wanting to come back, but, and maybe they still can. I don't know. That's yet to be seen, but yeah, I think you have to at least make the tournament your first year.
Yeah. And I don't think that that's really too much to ask in the sense with the coach that you're getting, with the level of talent that he's going to bring in immediately. So, you know, it's what is his coaching going to do to prepare those guys from, you know, we'll just say obviously this summer into the season, how ready is he going to get them? So I think that making the tournament is a realistic goal, a realistic expectation. And then after that, you know, you just have to look at how are you progressing? And I know that there's up and down years. I know that it goes either which way, but, you know, it needs to go back to getting to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eights, up to the Final Four. That needs to be the constant. That needs to be the regular. So get this first year out of the way, you know, make the tournament. And then from there, that's when it's really, okay, like, we're in this. It needs to be, okay, we need to be getting to the second weekend, the third weekend, et cetera, of the NCAA tournament.
I know. I kind of wish it was like, okay, if he had a full roster, you know, you do your announcement, and then a week later we're playing, because you're getting this hype up, kind of like the same way with Bobby Petrino stuff. You know, you see this hype around him coming back, and then there was a long lull. Now they're into, you know, camp, and then you're going into summer camp. And so it would be interesting to see what he has coming in for talent. We've noticed that a bunch of players have decommitted from Kentucky, and none of them have come out and even said, you know, are they coming to Arkansas? But you would have to sense that some of them would consider coming to Arkansas. But my thing is, you've got a coach like Cal, and you see how things were ending. I mean, and this is not in a bad way. I mean, they wanted him kind of out the door. They didn't want to let him go, but we've seen the fan base is, look what a lot of them did to us this year after 1 year of not making the tournament. And we had kind of, you know, talked around the fact that, you know, in Mus's tenure, it was starting to take his teams a little bit longer and longer and longer to click, because he was trying to grab out of the portal and make things work. And it was working, but it worked when he had 2-3 other NBA style players. Now, if you can get 4-star, 5-star, 1-and-done type players to come in, just imagine every year you're getting guys like Nick Smith Jr. and Anthony Black, Jordan Walsh. And then you have, look, Jordan Walsh, perfectly, you know, and Jalen Williams, type of guy that, yeah, they're NBA talent, but they weren't that like Nick Smith Jr. or Anthony Black level when it come to first, like, lottery picks. Your first, second round draft picks, but you have 3 or 4 of those every single year, and you have that rekindling of when you walk into Bud Walton Arena, they're not booing you. They're cheering for you. The players for Kentucky are not doing this like I done earlier. They're embracing it. Man, that's got a lot of fire underneath
it. It does. And, you know, we look at – I know the fans are a little bit – the whole one-and-done thing, kind of – a lot of fans don't like it. But yeah. You know, and I get it. You want guys that are going to stay here 2, 3, 4 years. Same time, with the short window that there is in the NBA, I get why these guys, you know, they do their 1 year, maybe 2 years, and then they go. And if you look at it, Coach Cal had 35 first round draft picks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. And so that's what we're now potentially, I'm not going to say probably, potentially looking at. You're going to start getting those guys that they're borderline ready to jump to the NBA. And they're going to come here to do so, to play for Coach Calipari.
You look at a guy like Nick Smith Jr., and we're talking about that one and done stuff. You know, his season, lottery pick guy, he's only averaging 5.5 points a game. You know, it's not promised. This is not a promised deal. You look at Jordan Walsh bouncing in and out of, you know, Ricky Council, bouncing back and forth between G League. Moses Moody done it for a long time, bouncing back and forth. Mason Jones has been there. We see all these Arkansas guys that go in between the G League and the NBA. They're called up on a 10. No, Dusty Hannes was even that way. He signed a 10-day contract, and we know how good they were in college. It's hard. It's not – nothing's guaranteed because – you know, when, and this is not to say they're spoiled, but when everything's given to you, you're coming in expecting to be, it's easy to do in college, but if you are this lottery pick and then you go into this grind where there's only 8 roster spots on this, I mean, legitimate 6, 7, 8 rotation in the NBA, it's hard to fit in. And the elite level of jumping from college to the NBA is not as, it's not as close as you think it is, because you think these guys are just one and done stars. You got a guy like, and Nick Smith Jr. is getting 20 points a game. Now he's at 5 in the NBA. It's hard. It's a hard jump.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we've talked about before the role players, and, you know, Jordan Walsh went from what, 8 or 9 points a game here to the G League. I mean, he's up in the 20s most of the time. I don't think that's his average, but, you know, it's completely different. The game is different. The talent is different. The speed is different. So I think that you look at coaches like Coach Calipari and, I mean, even Musselman, going back to the Eddie Suttons, which I know the game was completely different back then. But these are guys that in their time, in their eras, et cetera, like they were doing whatever they could to get their players to the NBA, and they knew what it took to get there. And, you know, even though, you know, Coach Cal's tenure in the NBA wasn't the greatest, at the same time, he still kept those relationships with coaches, with GMs, with players. And a lot of that, too, is the players that he's coached in college, he's still close with in the NBA. So he's still seeing what they go through, whether it's practice, whether it's travel, game. I mean, he sees what they're going through. They still reach out. They still talk. They still come visit. So now we're looking at it here in the however long this lasts, you know, yeah, you're going to have those players that they're going to go visit Kentucky because that's where they went. But you're also going to see some of these players come visit him at Arkansas on top of the former Arkansas players coming back to visit.
Yeah, and we touched on that the other day. How crazy is that going to be when, you know, Anthony Davis, John Wall, Devin Booker, you know, those top guys are in your practice facility, you know, helping you get better, or just their presence of, this is what Cal's done. This is what, you know, and you look at, you know, where I was looking on the recruits and the basketball commits, you know, you see what could potentially come in, you know, 5-star, you know, 4-star, 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 just the top 4 guys.
Well, and the ones that was taken off of that, I believe, I can't really see. It's a,
I don't know how many.
Well, the Carter Knox yesterday that decommitted, he's 5-star.
Okay. Yeah.
So they've taken him off the list.
Okay.
But going back to your, just talking about real quick, the former players coming to visit, I think the meeting, or they better have a camera there the first time Michael Qualls comes back to visit.
or the
school, and he gets to go meet Cal just because of the dunk.
Yeah. It's just, man, just because of all the nostalgia that we talked about with Michael, and you just didn't see a coach from Kentucky coming to Arkansas because of that. I think if it would have been LSU or Alabama or Auburn, you know, a school that you haven't had a 30 plus year rivalry with, you know, that's what makes it almost weird, you know. And but you know what, I was thinking about it all day, and I kind of touched on it last night about the whole thing of what this fan base deserves. And sometimes when you get pushed down, you're left without a roster. You go through the Pelfrey years, you go through the Stan Heath years, you see what happened prior to Musselman. You know, but that's what Arkansas basketball was and can be, is a coach like Cal coming in. You look, I mean, yes, Kentucky's won more national championships. Yes, they're a blue blood, but Arkansas can be that because Sutton, Nolan, Musselman, now Cal. You look at the whole, look at, you know, Kentucky with Patino and Cal and Rupp, you know, that the same names, the same program is there. Mm-hmm. We haven't had this rivalry since 92 because it was just a team that you hated and you wanted to beat. You beat them. You beat them at their best, and they beat you when you were at their best. It was an all-out war when those 94 teams and 92 teams, Todd Day, you know, Corliss was going up against Mashburn, you know, Jamal Mashburn, and then, of course, you go to the Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins era, John Wall years. But this is the last thing I'll kind of say on the fan aspect of it is there's going to be probably 19, 20,000 people in that arena tomorrow welcoming him in, and they wouldn't do that if they didn't respect him. They wouldn't do that if they seen what he done at Kentucky and he can do it. It's not like Cal's been out of coaching 5 years and then decides to come back and revive this program. I mean, he still has it. You've seen that with all those players taken away, they still had the number two recruiting class in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, that shows you. And a couple of people were posting it today. Without a roster, even Coach Cal being your coach, they're still a favorite and considered as a favorite of this next nearest national championship. Mm-hmm. That is what Cal does. That's how that needle we were talking about moving. And that's crazy. You walk into your practice. What are they going to do the first day of practice? What are you expecting? How are they going to do? Are they 3-0? I mean, really, I just thought about that and laughed.
Yeah, I think the coming weeks on that, I mean, the dead period ends on April 11th around noon. So I don't expect like the news to explode on it, because you're still going to have players that are now be able to talk to coaches and schools and whatnot. But I think it's going to happen quickly that you're going to start seeing the flipping of commitments or the players that have entered the transfer portal, you know, name their schools, et cetera. So I would think that, we'll say by this time next month, we'll have a much better idea of what's coming in to Fayetteville.
And another thing that we haven't touched on, not only the recruits that are coming from Kentucky, but there's plenty of spots open for this Arkansas roster. Now, who could you flip that was not even considering Arkansas going to another school? Now they see this wide open space in Fayetteville, Coach Cal's coming in, somebody that Arkansas couldn't even think about getting. What about the big that's out of Indiana State? You know, these bigs that you're not used to having at Arkansas per se, 7-footers that are dominating like at, you know, 80, and the guy at UConn, you get a couple of the guy that it was at Kentucky, that freshman, mm-hmm. You know, you look at that. This could, and not only in the coaching world, this could create a catalytic shift. It could do it for recruits too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're coupling Calipari coming here, players in the transfer portal, and these players now know what that dollar figure is on NIL. So, like it or not, NIL is here, and it's out there in the open that there's $5+ million on the table for just basketball. So you're going to have, you know, I think your pick of the litter.
I think this right here, the board says no to the limit increase. You wouldn't do all this to say no to the limit.
I don't think that picture would already be up in Bud Walton Arena.
Exactly.
If they were going to say no. So I don't see that happening. I plan on being on the Zoom call in the morning at 9 a.m. since obviously I'm not in Little Rock, just so I can see it in real time what's going on.
Yeah. And possibility, look, state, if it's a possibility, we will try to, I don't want to say a word that could flag it, but, you know, we might be able to make things happen where you can join us in that fellowship as well. We'll put it that way. But, you know, it's a great time to be a Razorback fan, and I wish I could drive up to Fayetteville tomorrow and see that. But looking forward to this football season and basketball season, I mean, it could be a very, very interesting 6 months, 8 months when we look at where we could be this time next year. Mm-hmm. Where's Arkansas? I mean, that's the thing. Where's Arkansas going to be at this time next year with their basketball program? You know, mm-hmm. Where could it be at a year from now?
I mean, you're talking about right now without a roster, we've already majorly shifted in the odds for the NCAA championship next year. So you have a year for him to coach and recruit, et cetera. I mean, that's going to be even further up there.
Well, I mean, we appreciate everybody coming in. Had a little special, of course, you know, with him actually, it's making it official. He said his goodbye. Press conferences tomorrow. We wanted to come on and give everybody a show tonight. We don't know about Thursday yet. Let's see. We might just end up coming back on Monday and bringing you a show on Monday. But, Adam, you got anything else to add before we wrap things up?
No, just, you know, get out there. I'm sure a lot of you are already watching, but Arkansas, I believe, is up 4-1 on San Jose State at the moment. Yeah, and if they're opening the doors tomorrow night, you know, you got the baseball game at 3. Game's over. Head on over to Bud Walton Arena and welcome Coach Calipari to University of Arkansas.
Well, I'm pretty sure if it's what it is they're going to have the – I don't know. They might even have a parade from Drake Field all the way up to Bud Walton. I don't know. Crazier things have happened. But, yes, they're going to have he'll arrive in Northwest Arkansas tomorrow about 1:30, I believe. The doors are open. Going to open at 5. Is that yeah, because you got somewhere around that time, and then the ceremony's at 6. So, yes, if you can, I mean, it'll be just like how the baseball team is when you're winning, and then you got to get back in line for the Hog Pit for the next game. Hurry up, get over to Bud Walton Arena. But that will do it for this episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, presented to you by Believe, Bet Online, Autograph, and Sterling Soap Studios. We will catch you the next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.